So then tonight's topic is going to be, how do we meet and how do we court? You know, how do we find a sweetie? How do we find a playmate? How do we initiate contact successfully in late 2013 and beyond? So this is all about success stories. This is all about, this is all about coping mechanisms. This is all about, you know, winning techniques. Whatever it is that works for you. What has worked for you nowadays? And, you know, I'll get it out of the way. Yes, everybody's heard me bitch and moan about the online world, but it is something that's there. And so then if you have some very good tips that you'd like to share with people, tonight would be a really good opportunity to do it. In my particular case, I'll start off with recon. Personally, for me personally, it makes my flesh crawl, but you have to admit that it is the largest, it's recon.com, it is the world's largest online kinkster community. And the reason why it makes my flesh crawl is because my problem is, with the online world, is that I have a very, very exaggerated and ludicrously overextended set of antennas when it comes to intuition. And if I can't get a sense of somebody's authenticity up close, then I can't deal with them. It's just, I freak out. You know, I have a real problem with that. So that's my only complaint with the online world. I like to be able to use my bullshit detector up close, where I can sense whether somebody's being the real deal or not. And if somebody's going hubba hubba from Lithuania, I don't really see the point of it, you know. So there's that. So I've just given my example of what I don't like. What I would like to give is as an example of what I do like. I like what we've been doing in this group, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be doing it, where we create occasions for joy. That's intentional. We're sociable, we're friendly, we're hugging. Anyone who's new and shy here, I think you could probably say this is not the typical get-together that you normally see, that everybody's hugging, everybody's happy, there's a joyful roar of ecstatic pleasure in the room. To me, that's what I like, so that's why I created this opportunity, you know, for more people who have the same sort of need. But there's more. So let's hear about that tonight. I'm going to start with you, and we're going to go this way. So tell us, what are your winning techniques for meeting people in 2013 and beyond?
Just smile. Touching them.
So how did you meet him?
He smiled and touched me. Uh-huh.
And see, that was up close.
It's interesting because we flirted with each other for probably half a year at least.
Speak up, please, yeah.
I think we flirted with each other for at least half a year before we really went anywhere with it. But, it's just, I think both of us are probably, you know, coming from, you know, points of view where, you know, you just really gotta trust somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, trust is definitely an issue these days, isn't it? What would you say would be a good opportunity not to trust, you know, in the modern dating world?
Well, I would not trust somebody if they absolutely insisted on doing something unsafe, which is, you know, past my boundaries.
Yes.
That's a limit.
And what is your best way of making sure that you can trust them? What would be a good thing? So like myself, I have to have coffee with somebody before I will ever play with them.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, rather than just, I mean, if it's, you know, there's a difference between a relationship and just getting off with somebody. And I think, you know, if you're looking just to get off, that's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of support for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Anything else anybody wants to say of you guys? Okay, thank you. How about you? What works nowadays?
Well, maybe I'm not the person to ask. I've not had a whole lot of success recently.
That's honest.
But I've not been looking either. So, I've kind of come to these groups for learning right now.
Very good. That's fine. Thank you. How about you?
I would say a great, bubbly personality.
Yes. On your part or theirs?
Both.
Yes. Well, give us some for instances.
let's see, for instance, when I first met you, I seen the guy who had chaps with his ass out. I was like, I have to follow him around. But then again, I didn't have to follow you around when you see me doing pretty vulgar things on stage. And it was kind of like Tommy was saying, the whole touch, invading within the personal space, but at the same token, just being comfortable with the person I was talking to.
Yeah.
Then the whole newsletter first meeting thing, and now we're here.
And what I assert, having known you for this somewhat short time, only a couple months now, you have a lot of charm. You have a ton of charm. And my request is just keep letting it shine. Be, you know, shine like a lighthouse, because that's really what, to me, your strength is. That you attract people to you if you just open the doors. That's what I've seen. You know, you have been, absolutely, I would put you in the top 5% of just pure charm.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. And you're a lot of fun to dance with. We did a little dance-off when we first met. How about you?
Well, I'm working on my own stuff. I've kind of been, I'm an introvert, but I'm not shy. So I'm able to go up to people, but sometimes I don't think of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like extroverts want to get out and meet with people. So I have to remind myself to do that and to remember that generally everybody's, a lot of people are kind of holding back and afraid themselves. So it's, you know, it's a good thing for me to go out there and initiate things because that makes it easy for other people and just gets things going. And I try to do it without any agenda these days.
Why is that?
It's more, that's a hard one. I think it's just more true to something within myself. It's more,
Yeah, that what you would define as an agenda, what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, is trying to force an expectation upon something before you come to it and just leaving all that aside and just, you know, being present to what happens.
Yeah, it's just whatever happens is good.
Yeah. That's, to me, very healthy. Good job. Thank you. How about you? Tell your truth.
Well, I guess most people know I'm not shy. I'm very sociable. I like going up to people that are alone and sitting alone. I like saying and getting to know them. And I don't have to know their names before I jump in bed. But that, you know, so if I don't ask you for your name and I want to be your friend, it's a different story.
There's nothing wrong with that, baby.
I like having fun.
Yeah.
And so I love telling a joke or two. The nastier, the better. So I like people who can laugh. I like to laugh.
Very nice.
Good.
Good job. So I have to ask. If somebody just wants to get laid fast, what are the best possible choices here in San Diego? Did I boggle you? I didn't intend to. Because you're the one that won the Silver Stallion Award the other day.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Oh, God.
Tell your truth, honey.
Wow.
It's okay. People want to hear your success stories.
Well, I've put my puppy picture in Craigslist. I only deal with them on Craigslist. I'm not on Bear and all the other ones that the friends are on. And when I put my picture in there, I get all kinds of interesting individuals that go, wow, how I can't believe you put your picture in there. And they all have different views, and they all think, that is interesting, I want to get to know you, and they love the leash. It's kind of strange, but I think it's hot.
Well, yeah. It's a powerful statement. You know, it's not an average statement, it's an eye-catcher. People aren't going to do that unless they mean it. It's nonverbal communication that comes across very strongly. Good for you. So Craigslist.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty sometimes, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. That's why I asked you. Because I don't know, you know, and I'd like to know. Good job. Thank you. How about you?
I think I've talked about my online antics before. I guess about a month ago, I was out front of my work, and I'm walking, and I could walk around the corner. and I almost ran right into this guy. He was about Tom's height, and really cute little fella, and he went walking right past me, and about 10 feet behind me, and I turned around, and I looked at him. We're talking old school, okay? And he turned around, and he looked at me, and I just went, "Hey, let me have your phone number."
Oh.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. And then he goes, "Okay." And so I got his phone number, and he called me a couple times that day, and then we met up that night. It's a little Italian man from fucking hot, too, from Italy.
Nice.
Roma. That's what he kept saying.
And now
he's called from Roma. Okay.
And now he's going to hand around the selfie shots,
no,
right?
No, he's gone. Yeah, no, he had to go back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
damn.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, if we're talking about cheesy lines, I have to call back 23 years for when I first met my husband, Dennis. I mean, there's this cute guy. I couldn't tell if he was straight or gay. He doesn't broadcast gay on any channel. And I was in the locker room at the gym. I'd already seen him out on the workout floor. But so then I'm talking enthusiastically with a bunch of friends, me of all people, okay? But so I'm chattering away, and I can tell he's listening in. And so then I thought, what line shall I use? And I said, "I feel like meeting somebody new. How about you?" And I reached out my hand and shook it, but then I didn't let go. I was testing him. And he didn't let go, and he didn't seem to object, and I changed the grip so it was more like a touch and, you know, a pleasurable little thing. And I hung onto his hand for a good 6 minutes while we talked. And then we headed off to the steam room to establish our credentials. Is that my phone? Whose is that?
It's always mine.
Uh-huh. Yes. We're going to talk to you about that.
Good.
All right. So how about you?
I didn't know how to flirt until I came here, actually, or even talked to anybody, because I was really, mm-hmm. really, really shy.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the last few months, I started getting more comfortable in my own skin. And when I got connected with, I know it sounds funny here, when I got connected with this little boy in my past,
mm-hmm.
and the innocence that's still there, then I started feeling better about myself. And I started talking to people and meeting
yep.
people, because I wasn't, their guard was mostly gone.
Yep.
And I wasn't worried as much about what people thought about me or anything like that, and I look for that. I look for that sweetness and niceness in other people, even if they're sluts, because I don't think they're exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no, me neither.
No, it's, and I used to think they were.
Yeah,
and they're not. And
yeah.
I was telling Louis, because I had to tell somebody about this. I was playing with this guy the other day, and because of this conversation that we've had here, and these other meetings that I go to, and some other stuff that I'm work that I'm doing. There's this little animal inside of me that came out, and I didn't know that was there.
Nice.
And I was, it was fun, actually. It was, yeah, I didn't know that was, I almost felt like I was growling at times, so that was the experience.
Pardon me.
That's all right.
Mr. Army Boots there. Okay, please continue. We're listening.
No, and it's, I mean, I remember somebody came in here, and they, I don't remember who it was. It was one of the guys. It was, the guy who came back from Afghanistan.
Yes, James.
Yeah, James said, put yourself out there in some of the websites that aren't recon. And I put a picture of myself in a harness on Adam for Adam. And all these guys that I didn't think were, that I thought were vanilla, are hitting me about, let's hook up. And I started talking to them about fantasies that I have. And it's, I didn't even know that was inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like interested in saying, what's your fantasy? And I said, I want to do this to you, and I want to do that to you, and I like this, and I like that. And I never said stuff like that before.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a big breakthrough.
Well, yeah, and owning it and not being embarrassed about it, and
mm-hmm.
there's nothing shameful about it, because I
yep.
used to think that there was. And there's not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use what he just shared as an example of what I talk about when I talk about blossoming forth. What we've been doing in this group on an individual basis, but also as a group, is like leaving the caterpillar behind and finding out just how big and strong our wings actually are. In order to do that, though, we have to have a safe environment to do that. And that's what's been really, really nice, hearing these kind of stories. So thank you. That's wonderful. Because I applaud your progress, and I want to hear more. Keep us posted. Thank you. How about you?
I'm transitioning.
had a group of buddies, and we were all tops, and we'd all have sex together with different bottoms. Mm-hmm. Now everyone moved away, and it's weird having sex one-on-one. It's not sort of strange.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I'm trying to get used to it.
Well, are you going to be joining us on Tuesday night? The reason why I say it, and that's not a trick question, because this last Tuesday night, it was a whole bunch of tops and one bottom. So, you know, get to meet the other guys and do top talk with them. Build a new bunch of friends.
That'd be fun.
It is. I mean, they're waiting for you to organize things, dude. You know, clearly.
I just use a belt if you get people in line.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Everybody's got to have a party trick. Very good. Anything else?
That should do it.
All right. Thank you. How about you?
What was the question?
The question? His mind is on other things. The topic tonight is how do we meet and how do we court in 2013 and beyond? What are your success stories? What are the things that help you to become more likely to connect with other people, not just sexually, but on a personal basis, on a joyful basis, whatever works for you?
Okay, well, I'm a firm believer in it's not in here what you want to be, your boy, a cub, a bear, a dad. Well, no, that's a little bit different. It's not what's up in here that matters, it's what's in here. Like I've told you before, I have four dads that I'm a boy to, and I have that boy in me. But I also have that dominant dad, never having kids of my own type thing. I still have that at 56 years old. That's in there. So I enjoy it both ways. Like I said earlier, this pup thing is all new to me, and I've always interested, liked it or whatever. But I think what you have to do is you have to find out what's in here, your heart and soul, not what's up here, but what's in here. And you have to think about it. You have to nurture it and figure it out. A real quick little story. Back when computers first came out, I had this thing about bulges and Speedos. Oh, my God, it used to just tear me up. Well, not having internet, it hadn't come out yet, or you had to be rich to have it. I started thinking inside about, you know what, you're really a sick motherfucker. You know, that turns you on, and that you think about it, and you see someone, and you're like, you know. And it really kind of really bothered me. And then I remember I got my first little computer with AOL, dial-up, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, my God, there was pages out there about Speedos and bulges and stuff like that. I thought, okay, you know what? You're not a sick motherfucker after all. So anyway, you have to go for what you feel inside and what you are. Like I said, I don't mind being the dad dominant. I don't mind being the boy submissive to my four special dads. And you have to be real. You have to be who you are first. Figure out who you are first, and then go for it. I can tell you, for an example, what you were talking about earlier when you brought him to Leather Pride. And I walked by, and you pulled me over and introduced me to him, and you were talking about how he'd made his harness and everything like that. That's when I first noticed him. I'm like, that's a hot boy. Mm-hmm. Little did I know he was actually a pup.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked after that, off and on, back and forth, and here recently, well, and I found out he was a little bit scared of me, a little bit wasn't sure about me or something like that, and I was really wanting to meet him, and we just never did. I live in Temecula, moving back hopefully soon, and he's down here in friggin' Bonita. So it just never happened. So finally, I called him and I said, hey, I'm gonna go pick you up. I'll bring you back to Temecula. We'll go eat, go to a movie and stuff like that. And that's what I like. My point, I guess, I'm getting to is I like the dating part of it, the talk and get to know each other. The bar part's fine later, but I prefer the dinner. Sit there, talk, visit, see how they eat. See what they like to eat or whatever, and I recommend an all-you-can-eat buffet, too. That's a good way. That's where we went, right? That's a good way to see what, you know, because you're filling them out. You're trying to figure them out. I'm not an astrology nut, but I always work that into conversation, find out what their sign is, see if they're compatible with me as a Libra. So I think you have to know who you are. You basically have to find out, date, whatever, and then take it from there.
What you're doing is that you're checking them out on multiple levels, not just in terms of what the words that they say, but how they convey it. You're, you know, if you are touching or something like that, then you're communicating on that level too. That's my favorite level. Show of hands here. Who likes bulges and Speedos? Yay. Oh, yeah. Preferably both at once, yeah. But also, you know, who prefers, like, way prefers the dating process if you're going to meet somebody? Okay. There's no wrong answer to that. You know, and if you're not into it, then please do share about that, because we want to hear all different sides tonight. How about you? I'm going to go to the next one. I've just explained it again to him. Are you that silly tonight? You're scattered, aren't you?
Puppy mode.
Uh-huh, you're in, yeah, okay. So, you want me to come back?
Orf.
All right. All right, so, talk to us, please.
I'm a fan of taking an audience poll format of, like, make friends first, and find out from them about, well, who should I look at? And kind of use that and then go up and meet them and spend some time and things like that. But all of my most successful relationships have all come as a result of the friendships that I've made with people and then finding someone that way. Trying to make friends first and then not be looking for someone. You know, the minute that I insist, oh, I'm going to find someone to go out on a date with, that's when I have the hardest time. The minute I say, okay, I don't care, I don't give a fuck, I'm just going to have fun with my friends, that's when all of a sudden people come up and start talking to me. And I think it's there's some sort of either, you know, psychic or a pheromone thing of desperation that goes out. And when you're sending that out, then people get pushed away. When you don't care and you're just having a good time, that's when people come around. And so then, you know, if someone comes around, then I go and find out as much about them as I can and then go on a date with them and find out more.
Nice. Very good. Thank you. How about you?
How about me? I'm definitely an old school person. I like meeting people, you know, in situations like this or, you know, at work or whatever. Go out on dates. Not only do we do the hometown buffet kind of thing, but I also try to figure them out by what kind of clubs they want to go to. Are they into the leather club only? Are they into dance? Are they into whatever? It's, you know, that usually helps with the clicking. I know I've met a lot of people, and you used to run the dance.
Oh yes,
dance parties.
Yes.
I met a lot of people that way.
Well, what was that like for you, if you could please share? You know, tell the people who weren't there, could you tell them what it was like?
I think 1978's discos, the 70s disco parties, just like that, you know, with the lights, the music, and everybody just sort of relaxes and comes out of their shell.
But this was happening around 2005.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And as far as the internet goes, not a big fan at all.
Yeah. Well, the reason why the question comes up, you know, I mean, I'm trying to be fair because, you know, I'm 57 years old and, you know, I'm used to things from back in my glory days, you know, but the internet is not a bad thing. It's just that I prefer to use it as my bitch, where I use it to impart information and connect with people in order to get closer to them as opposed to, you know, hi, how are you? I don't care about you. I'm just, you know, I love everybody, but only this much. I can't be that guy. I have to relate to people. It's just my nature. You know, whether I was 22 or whether I'm, you know, 102, I think I'd probably be the same person. So there's that.
I know with me, with the internet, I tried it. And I kept getting all these emails and ads for somebody called Sally Jean in Arkansas has the perfect Christian girl to straighten your life out. And I was like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah. No, it just, that's, I don't know. I'm not going to editorialize any further. Okay, go for it, Marty.
Okay, I'm from the real old school, you know. When the wheels on a wagon were square, I go back. I didn't come out until I was later in life. I had the best time when I started going over to BJ's.
Mm-hmm.
And BJ's was where Baja Betty's was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because we'd all meet on Friday nights, and we'd all talk, and it was like the crust section. You didn't go out on Friday night until you went to BJ's. And that's how I met a lot of guys. Eventually, I had an apartment right across the street from BJ's, and there were many nights I took them home and went back.
Mm-hmm.
And
go picking up so, another one, yeah.
I mean, my friends all called me a slut when I was younger. And as I was getting older, it's really, really more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blessed to have three lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I met at PEX, I walked in, and he was sitting at the bar, just at the back bar, just having a cup of coffee. And so I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, what do you see in the ad that's so in the paper that's so good?" He says, "There's nothing in there. You're the best thing that's walked over to me."
Nice.
So that's how I met him. But it was, you know, you never know where you're going to meet someone. I go online today. I really have a problem with being online. Because, number one, I put things that are truthful about me, what I want.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't get any answers. Because they, but then you go to Bareback RT and you see what they put online. And if I have to lie about it, that's not good for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
kills the soul to lie.
Right. I'm also a senior. Some things don't work anymore. And that's a really big problem when your body starts shutting down. I belong to a group here for senior citizens, and I've met some really nice people, really, really nice people.
What is the name of the group?
FOG.
F-O-G? What does that stand?
F-O-G, Fellowship of Older Gays.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find them?
I knew about them, and they used to have coffee over on 35th Street in Adams in a little coffee shop. And now there's like 60 of us that meet on Saturday morning over at Ralph's and Panera's. Yeah. And like I'm in charge of the lunch group. Yeah, we have a breakfast one Thursday, lunch second Thursday, dinner the third. And you go out and you meet different people. And I really like that. You know, and one guy went up to, I said, "I really want to date you." And he said, "Well, wait a minute, I'm 66. I said, "Well, so am I." He says, "But I'm looking for somebody 75. So there are more people out there. But what I've done is I went to Florida. I found out there was a celebration of Friends in Fort Lauderdale. It's done by Prime Timers.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there, and there were a whole group of people and very different ranges of ages. I met somebody really, really nice. We've been in contact, and this weekend went out to Chicago to be with him, and we both enjoyed being with each other.
Nice.
We left the conference and we sat at the airport for 4 hours, and we were so comfortable with each other that we really didn't want to leave.
That's wonderful.
He's retired. He's 64. I'm 66, and I was able to enlighten him on other things. You know, we didn't go out to any bars, but we certainly did have a good time. I went to their Prime Timers meeting. Then, of course, he teaches me how to do dominoes. And so I went to a domino group, and we played dominoes. But, I mean, we do different things. Now, I could also turn myself around and go over to the Eagle. I don't have a problem because I was into leather when I was younger. And that wouldn't bother me. And I do go over occasionally. But, you know, I don't know what the true way of meeting someone is. You know, just put yourself out there, and when you do that, you meet people. I'm not shy, but I'm certainly not the slut I used to be.
Well, yeah, really. Well, you know, the term slut comes up a lot, and you know, I want to make it really plain that I have absolutely zero judgment about anybody's sexual generosity. Mm-hmm. Because I'd be a terrible hypocrite if I did. To me, sexuality is healthy. It's wonderful. I vote for it, and I recommend it to all my friends. You know, but the point is that there's way too much stress on virtuous people versus non-virtuous people, and that is actually killing people right now. Because I don't know if you guys know it or not, San Diego is quite the center for, you know, the porn industry. As far as I'm concerned, it's just another job. But a lot of guys are killing themselves nowadays because they feel isolated, they feel disconnected, they don't feel like they can ever just be themselves without somebody wanting something from them. And it's a soul-killing thing. And that's why I always go way out of my way to try and invite as many guys from the porn industry into being part of our group so that they can relax. And there's quite a few that have been in the industry or are currently. And that's why I'm doing it, because we can't afford to lose any of our brothers. We just can't. I've made a special project out of that.
There's one other thing that when you go out and you look and you meet somebody, then you have to say, because I'm up front, I say, I'm HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of guys just, you know, especially with the seniors.
Right.
Because they've gone through this whole thing. They don't want to be with someone that's HIV positive.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to really be up front. And that
yep.
should be something that you discuss with the guys online mm-hmm. or at the bar or, you know, when you go take them to dinner.
I agree.
Yeah.
Very well said. Thank you.
Okay,
so tell you what. Let's take a short little 10-minute bio break, and then we'll come back and start up again. We've done an awful lot of different talking about different stuff. I'm sure if we went around the room 4 or 5 times, we'd find out even more about each person because, you know, people are giving very good responses, but they're not giving the risky responses. I don't want to have to dig for them. So if you're, you know, you got some slutty stuff you want to confess, this, you can't find a safer place to do it. Seriously. For instance. No, I'm kidding. I'm being fun. So what would you like to share tonight?
I'm not a bar person.
Mm-hmm.
I do go every once in a while, and usually when I have gone out to the bar, it's mostly the Eagle where I like to go. I guess because I'm the voyeur thing, and I want to see what's going on. I'm not so much the type of person to go up and talk to people for being the shy kind of introvert that I am. Also, little insecurities come out, and I am not really comfortable approaching people. I more wait for people to approach me. My last relationship just ended in January because my partner passed away from cancer.
Mm. How long were you together?
12 years.
Oh my.
And I met him at work. When I was working at a video store in the mall, he came in and would buy videos for me, and we got to talking, and he came in several times, and he invited me to come over to his apartment in Hillcrest, and we watched movies, and he made me dinner, and it kind of went on from there, and we ended up living together for 10 years in Normal Heights.
Mm-hmm.
So, I meeting somebody at work was a new thing. I've always been just open about being who I am pretty much everywhere I go. The internet thing doesn't really work for me. I'm out there on a lot of websites, but I guess being that I'm more descriptive of things in my profile, it kind of turns people off. The few people that I've met have been kind of flaky. I've met Papa Tony several times at the Eagle, and one of the times I was with my partner, and Papa Tony talked to him as well and tried to invite him to come to the meetings and events and things, but he didn't really want to do it, so that's why I never really came until after, I guess, he passed away and was just out there. I have a kinky side, but really he didn't have a kinky side, so he didn't want to do a lot of the things that I wanted to do, but he did let me go and do things with some people.
Mm-hmm.
And also I would dress up for him and put on little shows kind of thing. But
nice.
That was about it.
Baby. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing. Nice. What have you to share, slave? It's my slave, Bob. Yeah.
Well, I'm not dating, as it were. So,
well,
really,
how do you
know.
Meet people?
Well, okay, and that's what I was going to talk about. Was, you know, because I tend to be a bit shy with strangers anyway. But it's just a matter of getting over yourself and forcing yourself to, you know, walk up to people and say hi and introduce yourself. And I got pretty lucky in that almost the first person I actually did just walk up to, because I thought, he's an attractive man, let's see who he is, turned out to be a certain individual you know, his boy, Ray Concert. I didn't realize that they were associated, but I saw him, he was a cute guy, I figured, I gotta get to know that guy, so I walked up to him, and we hit it off, and then a couple of days later, I think I found out who he belonged to, so. And the other person that same night that I met was Kurt Wendelborg. So I was pretty lucky in terms of picking guys and going, huh, I should probably meet that person. And then there was this individual who I had met and I had known, and he was very polite but very reserved. I mean, he gave me no indication he had given me a second thought, and I shamelessly threw myself at him one day, and it worked out rather well. So, you know, kind of an unusual. I don't have a whole lot of additional experiences beyond that, because I found what I needed.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I said you got all you need.
That's right. I got lucky. What can I say?
Well, for the record, you guys might have noticed that I'm very friendly, but only up to a point. My explanation for that is, as the founder of the group, I can't afford to show favoritism, because there's nothing worse to cause, you know, discord than people feeling like I'm using the group just as my own personal lobster tank, where I pick out the juicy ones. You know, you like that? Yeah, I have one. You like that line? I have 1.2 million more of them by actual count. It's very rare for me to, you know, really focus on somebody, but I thought, you know, I deserve to be selfish once in a while. So as soon as I found out more about him, and as soon as we played, I thought, oh my God, I've got to put a collar on this one. Yeah, so he's been my boy and then my slave ever since. So how long has it been?
We're coming up on 3 years.
That's right. All of it happy. Yes. Yay. So, please, anything you would care to share? Meeting friends, meeting dates, meeting whatever.
With me, it's been a lot with the internet, because mm-hmm. I'm kind of anxious and, you know, feel awkward. And so I started meeting guys online when I was 16, like as soon as I could drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Houston. I only moved here a couple of years ago. So pretty much, like, when I left, most of my gay friends I met either through some way online or through my ex, who I met online, and he knew kind of everyone. So through that, I did get better at meeting people at cocktail parties and different events, and I think of myself as a rather open person and, you know, willing to kind of go along with things. You know, in Houston, it's close to New Orleans, so going there for Mardi Gras and Halloween and stuff, and, you know, the, you know, playing that goes on there, and just trying to be friendly and open. And I was often the youngest one around, because when I started dating my ex, I was 18, just finishing high school, and he was 49. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, people seem to like that I, you know, would kind of go along with things more than some guys, some younger guys who, you know, at like clothing optional parties, they stay clothed, they kind of, you know, a little more standoffish, and I don't know, I kind of also am impulsive, so as far as like meeting people online, just kind of going for it, see what happens, because you never know what the result might be.
Mm-hmm.
For good or bad.
Would you describe yourself as an instigator? Or a permission giver? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm that way too. That's why I ask. Because I think everybody here can agree that having a permission giver or an instigator at a party is a great thing.
Yeah.
You know? That's a wonderful thing. Because there are people who don't understand it, or they step back and they judge it or whatever, but frankly, I call us the border collies of the world. We keep the herd moving, you know. Yeah, I'm always the first one to get on the dance floor, or the first one to, you know, get naked at the party or whatever. You know, what the hell? So anyway, so yes, so anything else you'd care to share? But for instance, how old are you now?
I'm 26.
Right, now how old is your sweetie?
She is 49.
Right. And just for sharing from my own perspective, when I started playing with guys, I wanted guys in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and that was it. And, you know, that's always been my pleasure. And, you know, I'm sure people had their judgment about it, but I never saw anybody taking advantage of me. If anything, I was taking full advantage of them. So, and by the way, the book I'm always recommending, The Male Couple by Drew Mattison, Mattison, and David McWhorter, they said that the optimal age difference that they found in the hundreds of couples that they interviewed was something like 14 years or 19 years, one of those. It's been a long time since I read it. But they said that it's very healthy to have an age disparity. Yeah. You know, that they found that the longest lasting relationships tended to have an age disparity. So, what would you like to say?
Well, 2013 and beyond, I'm not even sure how I would go about it. I met Stephen online. He's the only person I've ever actually met online. Everybody else has been through a you know, public forum or something. The boyfriend I had before Stephen was at the office, and before that it was always at clubs and whatnot. And I find that, you know, when you're in an open forum like that, it's, you know, if it's somebody that you're looking to be interested in, it's a make eye contact kind of thing. I would make eye contact and then leave it alone and make eye contact again, leave it alone. If I can make eye contact the third time, then I felt it's okay to go ahead and approach. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's just I'm just honest. You know, I just find myself to be honest. I learned very early on there's no point to BS, because mm-hmm. in the end, if you want to be serious with somebody, that's going to come back and bite you in the ass. So,
yeah.
You know, but beyond after 2013, if he and I were to break up tomorrow, I have no idea how I would meet somebody, to be quite honest.
Yeah, same with me.
I have no idea how I would go about how meeting somebody.
Yeah, well, on that same note, you know, a large part of my motivation for creating the group was specifically to create social circumstances so that people could get past that quandary.
Right.
Because, you know, we had plenty of internet, but we didn't have social circumstances. Nowadays, we're spoiled. We got stuff going on all the time. You read the newsletter, it's like, oh my God, look at all these social circumstances. But 4 years ago, there was maybe one every 3 months. So that's why I created the calendar items that are filling it up right now. And that's why more and more people are filling it up with more ideas. Matter of fact, it's funny, there's a little bit of a turf war over Wednesday nights right now. Everybody's saying, quit hogging Wednesday nights. Well, before we started this men's discussion, Wednesday was just another damn night. But now we got karaoke, we got puppy night, you know, because if people are out, they're more likely to go to the next thing. You know, they'll get away from their computer. And so then it's funny is that now we've got, you know, other nights that are going to become very popular because people really, really, really want to start creating new events that are not this. Because this is good, but there's more variety that's available. So,
great. And one thing I want to say about the internet is that, you know, I know a lot of people have you know, issues about this or that, but the one thing that I have found that I think everybody would agree is the thing that the internet did is it let you know you weren't alone.
Yes. Oh,
you
yes.
Found out that there are others out there that are into the same stuff.
Yeah.
And you felt you were no longer alone.
Is it Rule 34? What is it?
Yeah, Rule 34. If it exists, there's porn of it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're interested in seeing, you know, nothing but erotic pictures of one pie fucking another pie, you know, with crust and everything, you'll find it. But I totally agree with you because, you know, I mean, like I'm always saying, you know, I grew up with the Baltimore Catechism viewpoint of life that, you know, sex didn't exist, it was shameful, it was dirty. Naked people were bad, you know, you're going to hell, all that other crap. And I struggled a lot, just like a lot of us, you know. And one of the nicest things, like you said, you know, I'm going to absolutely bear you out on that, like I'm always saying, if you go to Wikipedia and you look up the, you know, let's say you're a seven-year-old, male or female, straight or gay, it doesn't matter, but you go to Wikipedia and you look up the word erection. And like I'm always saying this, but you'll find 8 pictures of a guy with a flaccid cock, and each picture it's getting harder and harder. And then you go down to the bottom of the page, and there's scientific links that have hundreds of pictures of every kind of erection you can imagine, all different colors, shapes, sizes, and it's real information as opposed to me going to the encyclopedia when I was 8 trying to figure out what people were talking about with masturbation, because I had no idea, you know, and I still didn't get the context. But, you know, that same thing, that I had to furtively hunt for information versus there it is now. And to me, I don't see that as a problem. You know, I really don't. You know, if you look at, say, nomadic cultures in Borneo, you know, where everybody's naked all the time, I don't see anybody being all that traumatized by it. You know, so maybe it's time for a little bit more truthfulness. You know, I mean, right now we're still being punished for being naked in public, even though every fucking one of us sees everybody's hoo-has and wing-dangs and, you know, razzies and, you know, all that. And we know what they look like, and we've all got it. So why are we still acting as though we're ashamed? I think we're giving way too much credence to that still. But thank you for making that point. It's a good one. Thank you. How about you? Yeah, this is a man who knows a few things about meeting people online, and he's here to testify.
Fuck. Well, most of the guys that I have dated, I've met in person. All the guys that I've played with that are subs, I've met online.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about the picture in my profile, but I've got 2 profiles, one on Adam for Adam, one on Adult Finders, and I tend to get kind of inundated with people that want to be subs. I mean,
mostly Marines.
Yeah, a lot of military guys.
Hoorah.
Thank you. Yeah, and, you know, I would be lying if I didn't say it was a turn-on, but it's kind of weird.
Thank you. So where are you online when you are running across these creatures?
They run across me and they contact me, and then I just get on and reply to them. I don't spend a lot of time online because between work and school, I don't have, well, I'm not working right now, but with school, I don't really have a lot of time, so I don't spend a lot of time online. It's just more me going on to respond. And
well, are you on AOL? Are you on
what? No, I'm just on Adam for Adam and Adult Friend Finders.
Huh.
That's it.
I've not heard of Adult Friend Finders.
Oh,
yeah, hang on.
Adult Friend Finders?
Adult Friend Finders.
I just want to find it.
That one's pansexual, that's why.
It's pansexual?
Yeah, it's not just strictly gay people.
I see.
Pansexual means
mostly heterosexual with a few bi and very few gay mixed in usually. For instance, who here has heard of FetLife? How many people have spent a lot of time on FetLife? Really? What's the payoff for you? I'm just curious.
I'm just curious and looking at things on there. I have never really met anybody off of there.
Yeah.
But I belong to some of the groups on there. Just kind of see what events and things that they have.
Yes, Marty.
Okay, I have a friend that's on Adult Friend Finders. And almost every night, he's got somebody coming over to his house. It's like unbelievable. He gets the Navy guys. He gets guys that are married. He, you know, it's
all
over.
This is all off of Adult Friend Finders?
Adult Friend Finders. And I said, wait a minute. I said, am I doing something wrong? And you know, and the military and the, you know, like they're going out for the next 6 months and they come over. They're married, they come over.
Duly noted. Hmm. Good to know. Well, answering the question, what is FetLife? FetLife, otherwise known as Het Life for heterosexuals. They're very available, very open to gay people, but gay people show up, they look around, they say, nah, and they leave. I mean, I have a profile on FetLife, but basically my profile says if you're a gay man and you're into kink and you live in San Diego, you might want to come check out our website. That's pretty much all I've ever been able to do with it because I was on there for like 9 months. It didn't do a damn bit of good, you know. I was trying to recruit new people for the group. So it's for kinky heterosexuals. You've got a really glowing crotch. I've been noticing that pretty much most of the evening. Yeah, he has his phone on in between his legs. So, Tonio, please.
Thank God for passing.
That's fine, love. How about you?
Well, it's a great topic for me because I just a few months ago came out of a 27-year relationship and sort of have to start a new life. The thing is that relationship for 20-plus years was not intimate, but, you know, you use it as a crutch. You have there's no intimacy, but it's your home life and your routine. But that's over now. So now I have to... I'm not an expert at this, but I sort of know what I need to do. It's like what I had to do back in the 70s when I came out. It's like coming out again. I identify with the gentleman that said, I'm an introvert, but I'm not shy. And that's where I'm at. And the thing is, I have to force myself to just put myself out there. I mean, I know I can do this thing, but I can't do it sitting alone in my apartment. And the computer is not an option for me because I am simply not going to show up at somebody's home who I don't know and do this thing or have them come over to my place. I just, you know, I need to, as you said, meet someone. I'm not knocking people that do it. I'm just saying I wouldn't be able to do it. And I don't think it's safe. So I am putting myself out there. I'm trying to get back on that horse. And I'm trying to remind myself of a few things. The last time I did this, I immersed myself in the bar scene. That is not an option for me because I've health reasons, I was forced into sobriety 2.5 years ago, and that was all a blessing, but I'm just not comfortable in the bar scene either. So, you know, I'm trying groups, trying things out, and I'm not just limiting myself to the gay community. I'm trying to meet friends and everywhere, where I live, my neighbors, be friendly, and there's a few things I've learned that I have to remind. You know, it's funny, socializing with people, it's like a muscle you need to exercise, and if you don't do it for a while, if you get too complacent and comfortable in that home, in that apartment, and you don't exercise it, you forget the things you need to do. Like, for example, listen. Don't just talk. People like to talk, and they like it when you listen. People like it when you're positive and you don't just complain about things. And people like eye contact and stuff like that. So I know I can do this, and it's just reminding myself. And I've made a lot of progress for, you know, just a few months. So I'm on a good path, I think.
I think a lot of people here can relate to everything that you're sharing. Absolutely. We're all coming from different directions, but we all have the same quandary. You know, and that's why the topic is important tonight. And show of hands, of the guys that are here, has your life taken an upward swing as far as meeting other people and building relationships of any kind? Show of hands. There you go. And that pretty much everybody. The point is that the more you keep showing up, the more likely your social skills are going to get less rusty. And you're going to quit making so many squeaky noises when you walk. But no, what is going to happen is the same thing that's happening with everybody else. It's that you wouldn't be in this room or really even listening to this if you didn't have a big goddamn heart. That's something everybody here has in common. These are sweeties. These are nice guys. People who don't think the same way tend not to show up. They think we're creepy. What's all this hugging stuff? Ew, what did I step in? Why am I around all this? I'm leaving as soon as I can. They tend to be self-filtering. But the people that stick around tend to be the sweeties. So, like I said, this is a nature preserve for sweethearts. what you're expressing is the same quandary that we all struggle with.
Yeah.
You got a lot of brothers in this room.
And if I could add just one other thing,
yeah.
It's just another way, like I said, it's like my second coming out, but another way that it's different is there's being more experienced now and more of an adult. It's like I recognize the fetish quality of my interests.
All right, testify.
And
we
so,
want to hear details.
Well, it's just I know what turns me on, what doesn't, and it's I probably was burying that somewhere in my subconscious for a long time, and I just don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 61.
Right. Yeah. And this is your time to do some exploration that you've been denying yourself for a long time. We're going to give you lots of opportunity to try stuff with a lot of joy and a lot of trust and a lot of closeness and with no expectation that it means you have to date somebody or that you have to start picking out curtains. Where you just have playmates. We're going to be doing a lot of that. We do that all the time. I invite you this Tuesday unfortunately it's at a bar still because we haven't found a non-bar environment, but it's not a drinking opportunity. It's a us together being close. You know, got tons of pictures. It's definitely not a drinking thing. Matter of fact, we refuse to play with people that are drunk. You know, they'll come up and say, "Hey, man, flog me." I'll say, "You come back when you're not inebriated." Oh, sorry, not going to do it. You know, the reason why is because if we're going to be able to relate to each other, we have to be on the same level. We can't be talking past each other. We can't be relating past each other. It's just not okay. I have very high standards when it comes to that. So having expressed that, though, that we will have lots of other opportunities coming up. We're going to be doing a full weekend. We still haven't set the date. We're working on that. Right now, the transition time with the group is taking a higher priority. But eventually, we will be doing a very big, non-bar, very wonderful weekend of learning and growth and experience and just play. You know, like I said, on the same level as a bunch of happy three-year-olds playing in a mud puddle together, that sort of energy where everybody's just so thrilled at the end of it. So that's coming. Just watch the newsletter. It will be coming. So anything else you'd care to share? Because it's clear you have a lot to share, and I like it.
Thank you.
And I'm going to make the formal standard thing that I always say. I should have said at the beginning. I'll probably edit this out of the audio because it's in a lot of the audio, but there is no such thing as too much information in this group. You know, TMI, talk to the hand, I'm not interested. We don't do that. Because we get shut down an awful lot. Now, clearly, you have a lot of passion in you. You'll notice that we're not punishing you for it. Mm-hmm. Let it out, because this is your time to share. This is your time to take some chances and be rewarded for it. So thank you for sharing so much. You did some vulnerable stuff. You put your heart out there. And next time when you're ready, then I want to hear from you on what it is that interests you, that gives you that extra tingle. Because speaking as the local leather yenta, the more I know about you, the more I can connect you with people who can, you know, share your journey, okay? And that's open to everybody. It's what I do. I get a lot of couples together, a lot of them. So, yes.
Hi.
Hi, sweetness. Talk to us.
Where do I meet people? Well, as you remember me a year ago, I'm very introverted, but I'm not shy, and
right.
I just basically grew afraid of people. So it takes me a little bit of time to talk to somebody. I don't like big groups. I'm more of a one-on-one. If
mm-hmm.
I'm hanging out with five guys, I'll probably just be sticking around and just be observing.
Mm-hmm.
That's. I was just in Palm Springs for an event called Hot and Dry. An AA event, and it was just really, really amazing. I mean, a lot of guys that I met last year were coming up to me like, "You are not the same guy that came here last year." Like,
mm-hmm.
I participated in all kinds of events. I spoke. I was asked to read. I'm basically just really coming out of my shell. But how I meet people, pretty much wherever I go, I'm the only person that limits myself. I am in recovery, and I meet a lot of people, but I don't want to be necessarily getting physically sexual with all of. I don't want to be having that mindset that I see a guy and it's like, "Ooh, I just want to sexualize him." I'm looking to create friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm I'm both vanilla and I'm crazy. I can, if I see someone and I really like them, I'll whatever. I don't really have a, I'm not afraid of certain things, or if somebody has, I don't know, if it's something that I want, I'll go for it. I can pretty much tell when someone's lying to me or if they're going to try to hurt me. And
mm-hmm. But you have to be with them in order to get that feeling.
My body will start acting really strange, and I've learned to...
To trust your gut?
To trust it and to accept that intuition. Mm-hmm. And I'm... Or, like, I'll ask them questions, and then if they don't answer the same thing, and then my mind will start wondering, I'm like, mm-hmm. are you, like, lying? I've also been a hairdresser for 20-something years, and I was a bartender before that for 10. So I'm very good with people. And people can usually, or most of the time, will want to tell me about their lives. And if I start asking somebody questions and they don't really want to tell me or they don't want to open up, then I probably don't need to know them. But lately, I just go out with my friends. It's been a while. I have not gone home with a person since I've been sober from a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to have to... be involved with someone who's drinking or who's doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And my profile says that I'm sober and that I only want to play with sober people. It also says that I don't smoke. I prefer people that don't smoke. Yet some people smoke, or they come in and it's like, who are you? Because clearly that picture of the person who I'm thinking I'm going to meet is not that person. I'm very diverse in the people that I like. My partner who died is 22 years older than me. I get a lot of young people wanting to connect with me, and I don't know how to connect with them, usually. And when it comes to sex, I've asked a couple of friends, and they're like, hey, you know, they want to mess around with you. Just take it for what it is. I almost feel like it's abusive. Then I have to, by my part, because I'm older. And but I've learned that when I was young, I always went out with people that were a lot older. And the reason why was because people that were my age didn't pay any attention to me. Or that's what I thought. And the people that were my age hurt me and put me down. And people that were older than me appraised me and gave me more of love, that was just what I wanted. So in meeting people, like in the community, well, it's that we love each other first. And if something could happen after that, that would be great, but it takes time. And it's you're developing a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm developing a relationship with myself, and I'm learning what I like. I'm learning to trust. I'm learning to trust myself. I got spanked for the first time
awesome.
On Labor Day from a friend who I met him years ago, and he wanted to do that. And I said, oh no. I said, my mother did a good job on that. And I'm like, I didn't know what, like, after... He spanked me, and then he started, like, licking me and kissing me, and it was just like, wow, this, like, felt really, really good. And then when he was, like, fucking me, he's like, your body feels so hot. Like, I could just eat you up right now. And it was like, and he had, like, his cock just grew. Like, I was like, where did that come from? So it was really amazing, and like, a lot of what I've learned here, like when I'm meeting or talking with people online, I ask them, like, what do you want? You know, what do you want from me? Because a lot of the times I get people that they tell me, you're very sexy, and are your pictures real? And I'm like, well, some of them were taken last week. They're not photoshopped. But I am the one that starts. I get scared or I get like confused, and so game off. When I go into that fear, when I like strangers because they don't know anything about me. What I learned this weekend is that I always thought that I was okay with intimacy, but what I learned is that I don't, because I meet somebody and then I meet them again and then by the third, fourth time, and then they want to start dating, and I'm like, oh shit, now you're going to have to get to know me, and I have to tell you things about me that I was abused, that my mother did this to me, that my brothers did that, and where I grew up, and I had a lot of shame with all that stuff. Being in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's removed a lot of that stuff, and it's put it in its right place in the past.
and I don't have anything to be ashamed of. I'm a grown man who, if I want to have sex with anybody who, as long as they're over 18 and they're consenting and I'm not hurting them, then that's our choice together. And I keep practicing what I've learned here. And I have noticed that a lot of men, when they're playing with me, they ask me, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And I probably, I get really quiet. I don't know how to express outwardly what I'm feeling internally.
Interesting.
And so that's coming with play, and it's coming with playing with the right person.
Yes.
I am very wild. A lot of people see me out there, and they're like, well, half the time you're half naked, and you wear this harnesses, and like a person who's introverted doesn't wear that. But I am like, well, you know, I am introverted because that's just who I am. But I'm also open-minded, and I like to try different things. And I'm not afraid to try something once. If I don't like it, then I can just say, hey, stop, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. And so far, I'm doing really well. After our retreat over the weekend, I asked my friend if we can go to... I wanted to go to CCBC. Because they have a sling and they have a dark room, and I was like, I just wanted to explore. And one of the boys that was with us, his recovery is crystal meth, so he did not want to go.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to split apart. So we all stayed together, and we stayed in this place called Warm Sands. And then somebody invited us to a pool party, and then I ended up getting to my little dark room. Mm-hmm. And I met a guy who was about 23 or 24, a little bear. It was this really, really, really nice. And I messed around with him twice. He had his way with me, and then I left, and then I came back, and I found him again, and we went for round two. And then I came back all disheveled with my friends, like, what are you doing over there? I'm like, oh, nothing. No, I told him, like, there's a lot of stuff going on over there. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
But he was like, nah, I'm just going to sit around. And he wanted someone to come and grab him and take him. And I said, well, okay. May happen, it may not. But this is what you want. What you want. So then in the evening, we went back to where we were staying, and there were these guys from Germany, and one of them, just like a missile, he just came at me. My toes were painted, and my clothes were all sparkly, as I usually am, and he, like, really liked that about me, so we started talking. He asked me if I spoke German, and I said, no, I only speak English and Spanish. So he started talking to me in Spanish, and we ended up talking for, like, about 5 hours. And they wanted me to go out with them, but they were going drinking, and they were going to this bar that I didn't really want to go to. So we hung out. The next morning, we had to leave early because one of my friends had to come back home. And I didn't really want to get their address or information because they live in Germany somewhere.
Yeah.
So, but the point was, like, that I could actually relate to somebody, and these guys didn't want my body. They wanted to know who I was because they found me to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl that's a drag queen, who's a friend of mine, told me, you're a very interesting guy, but sometimes you over-sexualize yourself, and then people focus on that part of you only. So I'm practicing having a balance.
Right.
Not too much of this and not too much of that. And pay a little more attention to who's talking and see what I'm hearing, because I think there's a gift in listening. Not trying to oversell myself or going over and over and over and over again. It makes it boring and dull.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a little quiet can create a little mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So I think that's all I have to share.
Well, that's the most you've ever shared with us, so thank you for doing that.
You're
it's
welcome.
Nice to get to know you better.
Thank you.
I had about 18 different things I wanted to interject with, but I thought, no, I'm going to let him talk. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of really good stuff in there, so thank you. All right. Spotlight.
I'll be honest with you. I
speak up for the guys.
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Good things come to those who wait, and mm-hmm. that's why I came here in the first place, to learn how to play safely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've explored, but not crossing the line with sex. I've done the flogging and head spanking. I'm learning how to tie knots with my sponsor from that DVD you gave me.
Yes.
But our classes haven't exactly started yet.
Mm.
And I flirt. People flirt with me, and I flirt with them, but I don't allow them to. They can only go so far. And I stay mysterious. Okay, and I stay a bit aloof on purpose because I'm not ready to let anyone in just yet. And that's how it is. But I will tell you this. There will come a time. It's going to be like Brokeback Mountain.
I'm going to get it.
I just have to be patient. And I'm really good at patience. So that's all I have to say. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you. How about you? Now, for those who aren't aware, the reason why I'm coming up to them like this, it's not because I'm hard of hearing. It's because I am recording. Yeah. For the sake of you new guys who didn't know, I am recording so that this benefits people all over the world. It really does. So please, share.
All right. You know, I've been looking at this, and I think there's a nice age gap in here, and I've been thinking, you know, I have a little bit of history now. So the way I approach meeting people in relationships is very different from when I started meeting men. When I first went out, lucky me, I moved to San Francisco and they discovered AIDS next week.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. So, it was a real difficult time. I was an engineer, I was nerdy, I didn't know how to talk about anything that had anything to do with politics or anything anybody normal talked about. So I didn't feel like I could go out to a bar and talk to people. So I was scared to death, you know. The only people I responded to were those who were very aggressive towards me, and I could respond to that comfortably, no trouble. But I didn't know how to talk to people. And I got in a relationship right away, and it was like, thank God I found a relationship. And that lasted 10 years, and then I had to learn how to relate to people after that. And I was talking to this young woman, she was 25, and she goes, God, she goes, you have to read the news. She goes, well, you know, find something to talk about with people, because I could talk about the heat coefficient or something.
That's next week's discussion, yeah. No, go ahead.
So I had to make a real effort. I had to find the art of small talk, you know, and it's real interesting. You know, I started reading the paper, and, you know, listening to TMZ, but, you know, you start talking about something like that, and you can talk to anybody. It's the, you know, and I would be fuckstruck. You know, I would be so nervous I couldn't talk. But if it's something like really inane, you know, like what Kim Kardashian is doing, people love to talk about that.
Sorry.
So that's what breaks the ice, and I've learned to be more calm around people that I'm attracted to and not afraid to approach them and say something that's non-threatening, but then get to the point soon enough if they show some interest.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's a good, very good tip. Thank you. Please.
I'm just going to listen tonight.
All right. Perfectly fine. How about you?
All right. So I guess for most of my, you know, dating and sex sort of life, I've met people online. My ex, who I was with for 6 years, like, I met him online. This was back in Columbus. While I was there, there was a site that was called Out in Columbus. I think there's, like, out-in sites for cities everywhere. It was a really robust community. There were people on there that were looking for sex, but there were also people on there looking for relationships or just friends. I feel like the places where everyone is hanging out online nowadays, be it like Adam for Adam or something like that, it's much more geared towards people that are looking for sex and just that. There's not as much like, I'm just looking for friends or a relationship or da-da-da-da. So I don't know where all of those people went. They were online, and now I don't know where they went.
Anybody have any ideas?
There's someone OkCupid.
Because that's, you know, and then you find Facebook groups and everything, but that's where everybody ended up that wanted to be social, and it kind of stole it away from the LGBT specific genre is everyone just is like, I'm tired of having to have my gay over here and my everybody else over there, and you know, people figured out how to use the privacy settings to keep their lives separate, or they have one gay profile and then they have their family and business people profile, and that's basically what stole everybody away is Facebook.
Yeah, good point.
Facebook can be very learning. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
I use a site called Zoosk, Z-O-O-S-K, and what I like about that is you fill your profile out, put down your likes and, you know, what you like and what you don't like, and then the person that comes back, if he's filled his out, then you see just where are you, what are his likes, and it's not really a sex site, it is a hookup site, you know, to get to meet people as friends. So that's one site that I go to. And I'm constantly meeting everybody from Los Angeles, nothing from down here.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, so you were saying.
So when I was meeting people online, though, like I found what worked well for me, asking a question, like kind of paying attention to what they put in their profile, and if there is something that you relate to, like say that specifically. So it's not just a like, hey, or you're hot. So you get like 100 of those or something, you're like, I don't know whether you just say that to every person on this site or you actually care.
Yeah.
So I found that helpful. I, of course, met Brett here, so that was in person.
Yeah.
When I am in person, I'm not the type that's going to like go up and walk up to someone and strike up a conversation, but I do try to be present. Wherever I'm at, you know, if someone does come up and talk to me, like, I make sure that I'm listening and, you know, trying to be engaging with them, and, you know, share myself when I can. I feel like where I kind of struggle with if I'm nervous and, I'm in a space like that, I'll tend to get my phone out and, you know, check the Facebook or check the messages just because I'm like standing there alone and like not sure what to do. But I think when I resist that temptation and I'm actually looking around and I feel like people want to talk to me more, like I'm more approachable and it works out better.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, phones are like a defense mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little uncomfortable, or I'm a little bored, or I'm whatever, get out the phone, blah, 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 you know, it's really annoying. And you see that out, you know, like, you came out, so why are you on your phone all night? Like, what are you doing here if you're just going to sit on your phone all night?
I walked up to him and I look at the screen.
So anyway, I've had a lot of different experience meeting people online or in person, or my first partner I met on gay.com, which was, I don't know, I'm sure that those days are over. I don't, that site's probably long gone. And it worked for me at the time, and the internet was where I really started coming out and meeting guys for the most part. And then after that relationship ended, and I was single, and I was rediscovering who I was, and I was trying to get out more and meet people in person, and it was before I found this group, but I would go to the game night, which is first Wednesday of the month at the center. That was a good event that I went to a few times and met some great guys there. The internet got increasingly frustrating to me, though, now, and like my single years before I met Brian, in terms of, well, for anything. So even if I just wanted to get off, okay, I'll look on Craigslist, oh, this looks good, you know, you're right, you don't hear, you know, no response. Happens all the time, that's frustrating. Or, you know, I'm looking for right now, yeah, let's do it, okay, yeah, let's do it. And then you get back a list of questions. Are you clean? How big is your dick? Okay, fine. I'll entertain your questions. La la la. Send it back. Get a whole other list of questions. Like, is this real? I mean, really, this is not what I would call right now.
meanwhile, I'm just getting frustrated in many layers of frustration. And, right? So sometimes that's frustrating. But even the dating part or not looking for sex, I found can be frustrating online. I tried a site called OkCupid, and it's a really advanced dating site. And I actually met a lot of guys on there. So you answer all these questions about yourself. And you can answer literally hundreds of these questions if you want. And then depending on how other people answer the questions, there's this mathematical score that it does. It tells you what percent you are a match, and what percent you are a friend, and what percent you're an enemy. It's interesting. I did notice anything over about 20% enemy that they, I'd look and I'd be like, yeah, not probably a good person for me to meet. It was good. I was meeting guys, but it still wasn't working. And you know, I had this personality profiles, and you know, of course, kinky was one of my top personality traits from the questions, but it still wasn't working for me very well. It just wasn't a great way for me to really meet people that I, there was no connection really that was working until I met Brian, and I initiated that, and I just spotted him first moment he walked in one day. I had my eye on him from the moment he walked in, and I just wasn't shy. I, you know, talked to him, I exchanged phone numbers, and just little steps like that. We had met again at the Eagle within the next week, and then, you know, we went to his place that night to check each other out and more intimately, and it was a pretty good match even from that first night, and it's just been great ever since, 7 months, and yeah.
Good job. Mazel tov. I hope you guys are as happy at 23 years as me and Dennis are. All right, thank you. How about you? Anything you'd like to share?
Well, given recent events, I've heard a lot of things tonight about how internet can be a good thing, a bad thing, meeting people in public is also a great thing as well. My experience has been internet, not so much. It's more of a kind of break the ice thing, kind of get them out in public to take it to the next step. Usually if you look like a picture online and I meet you in public and you look completely, you're missing teeth. That's not going to work. Another thing I've heard tonight is about personality. Some people say they're introverts, some people, you know, say they're extroverts. It's kind of funny, I did take the test.
Yeah.
And claims that I'm an extrovert, but I still think I'm somewhere between the two. So going up to people, meeting them, there's always been some kind of work on my part, always. Being open, actually coming to this meeting has always been some kind of work on my part. Public speaking has been work on my part. So, but eventually you get over that, and you're able to be comfortable with yourself and have conversations with people. And then you realize, or I think you realize, that you you may have a connection with someone. So, I'm going to say, when you meet somebody, communication is key. Be upfront with your personal feelings and what you're looking for, and hopefully that person will be upfront with you. So then you can take it to the next step and do the courting, dating, dinners, movies, play sessions, tie them up, you know, whatever your, you know, kinky heart's desires. But communication, for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but communication and feedback are what pretty much drives the connection. Yes, friends and being able to do things outside of
just having sex. That's great. But because over a period of time, the sex part kind of drops off.
Yeah.
So just, again, be honest with yourself, communicate, and just take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I mean, one thing I've definitely learned is that honeymoon is really nice, but there's more to life than honeymoon. You know, you have to, you know, I mean, it's nice to go ahead and connect with people and bump nasties and frolic and have a great time, but there has to be more to it if it's going to be more than just that. You know, I mean, if you want just lots and lots of honeymoon, there's plenty of that available. But, you know, that if you're, I mean, to me, the whole point is to, at least in my life, at this point in my life, that if I'm going to invest in somebody, I want to do it longer. You know, I don't want to just, you know, tear off a piece and move on. You know, it's just not in me anymore. Like I've said before, the point I've made earlier, you know, in previous sessions, is that there becomes a point in a man's life where he's looking for quality versus quantity. And it's perfectly fine to want quantity. I mean, like I said, I've done plenty of that. But, you know, once you've had something that's deeply satisfying on multiple levels, I'm spoiled. I don't want to go for less. I just can't. So with that thought, anybody have any final thoughts? Yes, please.
Number one, what I have found is you go up to somebody and they say no. They can't really dislike you for the simple reason they don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and for whatever reason they say no. But I'd like to know if we as a group can set up a speed dating and see if we can get some people here and come in and do speed dating and see what happens.
Would you be willing to moderate that?
I haven't done that in years.
That wasn't what I asked you.
I know.
Because, see, you have to understand my viewpoint as somebody who's been a community leader since 1981, is that ideas are great, but my job as a leader is to empower others to take, you know, the next step and to go into action mode. That if you have this idea,
I mean,
are you willing to organize it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I can
contact
me. It's not going to be right now.
No, when you're ready, yeah. Then you let me know. I'm very available.
I've done speed dating over to Joy Spears.
Right, I've heard of it in theory. I've never seen it.
And it's fun. I wound up with three numbers, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
I got a good idea now.
All right.
Subject question. Okay, when I was back in Alabama growing up, and yeah, I had the little bullshit puppy love little relationships, kids and all that, and I did have one relationship for over a year and a half. But when I was growing up, I always try to hide who I was. You know, it took me, I could know you for 2 or 3 years, I wouldn't show you everything I was into, all the crazy stuff that I liked, and, you know, I always hid who I was, for the most part. And when I finally came out here to California, I kind of said, fuck that. And, you know, and a small little portion right before I left Alabama, I started showing people a little bit more of who I was and stopped hiding, and I noticed my friends went from, like, 50 to, yeah, zero, basically. So I eventually just said, fuck that. None of them people were nowhere near like who I was or liked anything that I was like. I don't even understand the reason I was hanging out with them. I don't know if it was just to be social or what I did. I don't know. But when I came out here to California, I said, you know, fuck it. I'm going to be who I am. I'm not going to hide who I am. If someone wants to ask a question about me, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell you bluntly how I feel about it. And when I started getting in the relationships, I've been in three relationships, which those three were off the internet, which was a fucking disaster from hell. But I've learned over my time, I prefer to meet people in person now. Because we can get online and we can chit-chat on the keyboard and we can chat for 6, 8, 9, 12 hours and I can clear all that up in a 30-minute conversation over the phone. And I can actually understand your kind of mood and your tone so I can kind of know how to go with the conversation and kind of feel you out a little bit and kind of see if you have any landmines, bad landmines, or if just a fuck fest down there and I don't want to get near it. So basically now I throw everything that I like on a silver platter, take it or leave it.
Very good, thank you. Go ahead and call it to a halt at this point. I look forward to seeing everybody this next week when we do the talk about what's coming up with the group. I need lots of strong opinions on that one. My feelings will not be hurt if you don't agree with me. You know, this is about finding out what people want for the next phase. So everybody have a lovely evening, and thank you so much.